Today is Monday, January 13th. Good morning from the Civic Media News Desk. I'm Joanne Krulance. The man arrested and charged in the deaths of three people in New Lisbon has a $5 million bond set in the case during an appearance Friday afternoon in a Juneau County courtroom. Judge Stacey A. Smith ruled the large bond was appropriate for Virgil Thu after hearing comments from Juneau County District Attorney Kenneth Hamm. Originally charged with three counts of first-degree intentional homicide in the deaths of Elizabeth Kolba and two juvenile female ages 12 and 13, more charges were filed against Thu today. They included three counts of hiding a corpse, possession of a firearm by a felon, take and drive vehicle without consent, and resisting obstructing an officer. During his comments, Hamm asked for the high cash bond after detailing what Thu did during the 12 days after the homicides and before his arrest. Hamm said that Thu admitted to law enforcement after his arrest Thursday that he tried to hide his crimes as well as try to elude law enforcement. Hamm told the court that Thu stuck to rural areas and also took a car in an effort to get away. A Juneau County Sheriff's deputy arrested Thu in Elroy early Thursday afternoon after someone called the sheriff's office to report a suspicious person. Thu returns to court on February 13th. A fight over the upcoming state budget is already looming in the legislature. Speaking to WISN's Up Front, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux says his Republican colleagues will be tossing out much of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal.
All of his policy issues that he's already talking about, we'll pull out all the policy issues right away. It's a budget. It's not a policy vision for the governor.
Lemieux says Republican leadership is planning to send along a separate tax cut that bill before getting into budget proceedings, and that Republicans aren't going to honor a request to fully fund the UW system.
I mean, outside of Madison and maybe one or two other campuses, enrollment's declining. So I'm not sure why it makes sense to continue to put more and more money into a system that's in decline.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers has broad veto discretion over budget bills, and this could be a way to force the issue of what to do with billions of dollars in tax surplus before he's allowed to use his veto pen on the budget. The impact of social media on our children and adolescents is difficult to measure, and there are growing concerns about mental health risk. Sarah Young is a psychiatrist with Gunderson Health System.
We typically are finding that it depends a lot on the kind of feedback that a person is getting through social media, whether that has a positive impact on their mental health or a negative impact on their mental health. So if they are using social media to make social connections in a way that is might be difficult for them in person, that can be a very positive thing. Or finding people who understand some of the struggles that they're having or have similar interests, that can be very positive. Or if they're getting positive feedback from people, say they post some art that they did and they get lots of compliments on that, that's a big ego boost. But if they are finding that those interactions online are negative, they're not getting the attention that they were hoping for, they're getting negative attention, then we see that having a really negative impact. The other thing that we see a lot in terms of negatives from social media is that comparison of my life versus everyone else's life. And everyone's putting their shiniest picture of their life online, not the boring things or the bad things. And so when they compare their entire life and all the positives and negatives with someone's shiny vacation photos, it's really easy to think that everyone else's life is better than mine, or they're having more fun than I'm having, or they have more friends than I have, when that is often just a perception.
She adds that it isn't necessarily a crisis because it has some potential benefits, but
left unchecked, it could certainly become a crisis within individual families just based on exposure that kids might have to content or people that their parents might not approve of, or ways that kids might be sharing information that parents really need to be aware of in terms of their own mental health or their interests or other activities that they're doing. The internet is full of things that look very real and correct that are absolutely not factual. And so it's very important that parents are aware of what their kids are accessing and how that's impacting their education, their beliefs, things that they think are true around, you know, their own health or sexual health. Those are things that we certainly don't want them finding misinformation online and assuming those things are true with great consequences.
Socialization among teens has changed over the years.
We're certainly seeing that they are far less interested in the same hanging out in person and engaging in the same way that, teens used to. A lot of times when they're hanging out together, there's still a lot of phone time that's happening, as opposed to, you know, pre-smartphones when kids had to just hang out and talk to each other. So we certainly have some concerns around the communication impact and the social impact in terms of the intensity of relationships that people are having, because they're not getting to know each other in the same way that they previously would have. That said, you can form some really strong relationships online as well. So it's not that they're not forming those social relationships. They just look different, and we're not entirely sure what to make of that.
Health professionals agree parents need to be involved.
Ideally, parents are involved straight out of the gate, setting expectations for what that use looks like and what the oversight is going to look like. If that didn't happen, I think it's completely fair for parents to say, okay, we might have mishandled this to start with. Here's how things are going to look moving forward. And we certainly don't want to take a one-size-fits-all approach with that either. If your child is being very responsible in their use of social media, then we don't have to breathe down their neck and read every single message that they send. But it's like any trust situation where that trust is earned, and if that trust is broken, then we need to back things off and, re-earn that trust again.
Sarah Young says it is important for youth to understand that social media is an important and effective tool, but not the only tool. It is important to be able to have in-person interactions and communication. The enrollment period for affordable health care coverage is open. Melissa Kay reports.
Wisconsinites statewide can sign up for health insurance now through January 15th. The open enrollment period began on November 1st and extends through January 15th, 2025. More than 250,000 people in Wisconsin signed up for health insurance during the last open enrollment period. Signed into law in 2010, the Affordable Care Act ensures people can access health insurance without lifetime limits and protects the coverage of people who have pre-existing conditions. Another key provision of the ACA, authored by Senator Baldwin, allows young people to stay on their parents' insurance until the age of 26.
Thank you, Melissa. A new recycling practice may explain why the amount of collected materials dropped by nearly 7,000 tons between 2013 and 2022 in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Policy Forum Senior Research Associate Tyler Burns says it's called lightweighting. Companies have shifted to using less materials to package their products, which leads to less waste in the system. Burns says a plastic water bottle today weighs nearly 40% less than one from 10 years ago. Kohl's is planning to close 27 underperforming stores in 15 states by April as the struggling department store chain aims to boost profitability and improve sagging sales. The announcement Friday comes as the Menominee Falls, Wisconsin-based chain has had 11 consecutive quarters of sales declines. The stores identified for closure include 10 in California, but represent a fraction of Kohl's locations. Kohl's is getting a new leader this week. Michael CEO Ashley Buchanan will take over the chain's top job. Traditional department stores have struggled to retain customers as consumers shop online and look for bargains. Thursday, Macy's disclosed the locations of 66 stores it plans to close early this year. It's National Blood Donor Month. The American Red Cross urges donors to make an appointment to give life-saving blood or platelets in the new year to help keep the blood supply strong this winter. Type O negative blood donors and those giving platelets are especially urged to give now to keep critical blood products on the shelves for patients in need. The start of the new year is one of the most challenging times to collect blood products, as the threat of severe winter weather builds and can often lead to widespread blood drive cancellations. Additionally, an active cold and flu season may prevent people from keeping donation appointments as they rest and recover from illness. Three opportunities to give the gift of life will be held throughout the area this week. They are Tuesday from 11:30 to 5:30 at St. John's Gym in Muscadet, and from noon to 4 at the Linden Station Fire Department. A blood drive will also be held Wednesday from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Richland Center Community Center. Don't sit on the sidelines. Kick off the new year with a blood or platelet donation. To book a time to give, visit redcrossblood.org, download the Red Cross Blood Donor app, or call 1-800 Red Cross. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources proposes to issue a broad incidental take permit authorization throughout the Wisconsin, as well as adjusting the cave bat maturity roost period. Incidental take refers to the unintentional loss of individual endangered or threatened animals or plants that does not put the species' overall population at risk. The proposed broad incidental take permit authorization for wind energy and cave bats recognizes the importance of wind energy in Wisconsin, but also acknowledges the detrimental impact wind turbines may have on the state's cave bats. This broad incidental take permit authorization creates conservation measures for wind energy that are shown to be an effective strategy in minimizing impacts on cave bats. As part of these updates, the existing cave bat broad incidental take permit authorization will also be updated to refer to the new wind energy document and to adjust to the cave bat maturity period. The disturbance caused by wind turbines may still result in some mortality. However, take will be minimized by following conservation measures. Conservation measures to minimize the adverse effect on cave bat species will be incorporated into the proposed broad incidental take permit authorization. Copies of the jeopardy assessment and background information on the cave bats are available by visiting the DNR Incidental Take Public Notices webpage. The public is encouraged to submit written comments regarding project-related impacts to cave bats by January 15th.